Hare Krishna. Dragi Bhakta. Haribo. Dobrodosli. Dobrodosli. Kakosi. Dobra. Nia Dobra or Yaka Dobra? Oh, okay. Voila. Okay, I don't know Slovenian, only Croatian. Similar. I'm still waiting for the Srimad Bhagavatam, so we'll, in the meantime, we'll just chant some prayers. Ugram Virya Mahavishnu. Jvalantam Sarvatomukham. Nisringa Bishinham Badram. Mityu Mityam Namami Aham. Fagishya Yashya Badanehe. Lakshmi Yashya Shavakshasi. Ridayam. What is I forgot. What is that first? What's the first line again? Yes. First line of that prayer. Okay, we got the book. Saved by the book. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
So today, in honor of the Supreme Lord, Lord Nisringadev, his appearance is very dramatic and very, what we say, completely unique. There's no other appearance like of the Lord like this in the history of existence. So I'm going to read a little bit about his appearance. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurvani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pastyatya Desatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. Prahlad Maharaj is a 5-year-old boy, and although he's so young in age, still he has pure devotion to the Lord. His pure devotion is so much exalted that he is considered to be a teacher of eternal religious principles. He was born in a family of daityas, or demons, and therefore his birth is somewhat obscured by his place of birth. In other words, we always know that a great soul takes birth in a great family. But we see in this case that such a great devotee, not only great devotee, but he's called a Mahabhagavat. There are different levels of pure devotees, and the highest one is called Mahabhagavat. That means his devotion cannot be matched were excelled by anyone. So although he took birth in such a low-class family, demons, he was such a great devotee. Should I tell you a little bit about the preliminaries for his birth? We all know about Mr. Hiranyakashipu. Right? Hiranya means gold, Kashipu means soft bed. This is the desire of the materialist, to have as much wealth and to enjoy sex life unlimitedly with so many varieties. So this is the typical materialist, to enjoy unlimitedly, not wanting it to cease. Hiranyakashipu performed such great austerities. In fact, his austerities cannot be performed by anyone today, or even in the history of existence. It's that Prabhupada used to say that the materialists will do anything in order to enjoy material life. So they're also very enthusiastic to do things in order to increase their duration of life and to increase their happiness in the material world or sense enjoyment. So Hiranyakashipu was a typical example, or we might say the epitome of that example. He would do anything, and therefore the austerities he performed were so great that Lord Brahma personally said, "Your austerities have never been matched before." Even Lord Brahma was astonished to see. And Lord Brahma is the creator of the universe. What did Hiranyakashipu do? He wanted to become immortal. It's not possible to become immortal in this body, but the soul by nature is immortal, but not within the particular body. One can be transferred to one body after another and have many, many bodies, but you can't stay in this body for so long. That is the laws of nature, that is the laws of God. But Hiranyakashipu wanted to defy that. He wanted to go against nature, he wanted to go against God himself. So what did he do? He decided to perform austerities like nobody ever performed before. So with his feet up, standing on his tippy toes and his arms straight up in the air, it looks like he's doing kirtan. But he's not. He was performing the yoga system by pranayama, keeping the breath circulated throughout the body in such a way that there was no what we say, loss in time. He was able to circulate his airs throughout the body that there was no time effect on his body. And he stayed in that position for 1,000 celestial years. But he was so determined that despite the climatic disturbances, which an ordinary person would be, he wasn't disturbed. He was out in the middle of the cold, hot, and then even an anthill, some ants built their mound around his body and started eating his body. So much so that all his flesh was gone. Now think about that as austerity. Still, he was keeping his breath circulating throughout his bones. And that way he maintained existence. He knew that the soul was eternal, but he did not know about the super soul. He only knew about the soul. And so he performed these austerities. Brahma came and said, you know, his austerities were so much that smoke was coming out of the top of his head and burning the universe. I mean, think about that. You know, our austerities, we ask the devotees, get up a little early. Oh, man. Come on, give me a break. Get up 4:30 and chant Hare Krishna. Oh. Come on, I can't even see at that time. Give me a chance. So, in this age, nobody can perform austerities because nobody likes to. But in those ages, austerities were quite natural, and the volume of austerities was done both for the asuras, and the suras were able to perform great austerities. But Hiranyakashipu surpassed everybody, and he got the benediction from Brahma. He said, "I want to become immortal." Brahma said, "How is it possible? I can't give you something I don't have. If you ask someone for something that they don't have, they can't give it to you." Sometimes they say, "Please bless me with, you know, happiness." But if they're miserable, you went to the wrong person. Nobody can bless you with anything that they are not having. So Brahma said, "Well, I have to die too. Although my life is quite long, 311,400,000,000,000 years, still, death comes to Brahma." And so Hiranyakashipu and Prabhupada said, this is the nature of the materialists. They're always thinking how to outsmart God and the material energy. So he said, he was thinking, okay, then please don't let me die either a day or in the night. Brahma said, granted. I don't want to be killed by any man, animal, or any living being. He said, granted. I don't want to be killed inside or outside. Granted. I don't want to be killed on the land, sky, or the water. Granted. He figured out so many ways that I don't want to be killed by any weapon. Granted. He figured out so many ways where he could not die. And then he calculated, I'm immortal. And then he went on to harass the entire universe, so much so that he subjugated all the heavenly planets, removed Indra off his throne, and took over Indra's throne and became his kingdom. And all the devas, except for Brahma and Shiva, and Narada also, were subjected to Hiranyakashipu's whims. Whatever he wanted, they had to do it, or else he would destroy them. He was ruthless. And he wanted to enjoy. So after some time, he was thinking, I want some more power. That's the nature of the material world. The more you get, the more you want. Because it doesn't satisfy you. So you think, if I could just get more, it'll satisfy me. Just like in today's world. The demons, what is their program? To subjugate the world. They want to control this whole planet through political maneuverings or economic arrangements. Control, control, control. And they can control half the population, but they're not happy. They want to control the whole population. That's the nature of material desires. They're never satisfied. And so he was thinking, I'm going to perform some more austerities and become more powerful. So he left and went to a place on some mountain and started to perform austerities. The demigods were thinking, if he gets any more powerful, what will happen to us? So Narada Muni, he took the form of a bird, a dove, and when Hiranyakashipu was trying to do austerities, he would fly and make noise and disturb him. And Hiranyakashipu would chase the bird away, and then he would try to go back and perform his austerities, and he would come back again. And he kept doing that. And so and the bird kept singing a song glorifying Vishnu. That's what was disturbing. Not so much the bird. He was singing a song glorifying the name of Vishnu. So Hiranyakashipu became so disturbed. He said, I'm going to kill Vishnu! And he took out his bow ready to shoot the bird, and the bird took off. And he was so disturbed that he left and went back to his home. And then he met his wife. They had union, and a child was born. And that child was Prahlad. That was the Garbhodan Samskara of Hiranyakashipu. That's mentioned in the Shastras. That he couldn't get the name of Vishnu out of his mind because the bird kept singing Vishnu, 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 and glorifying Vishnu. And he was just chanting Vishnu's name, but in an angry mood, that he chanted Vishnu's name so many times that he qualified for Garbhadham Samskara. And then when he had a child, that was Prahlad. That's why sometimes we wonder, how is Prahlad born to such a demon? He could have been born to another family, but that's mentioned in one of the Puranas. So when Prahlad appeared, he was not like an ordinary child. He was already self-realized. Actually, when he was in the womb of his mother, Kayadu, the demigods, when Hiranyakashipu went away for some time, they captured his wife. They took her to the heavenly planets and they were going to harass her. And Narada Muni, he approached the demigods, he said, "What are you doing?" They said, "In this womb of this woman is another demon. So we're going to wait till he takes birth and then we're going to kill him." He said, "In the womb of this mother is actually a Mahabhagwat, a great soul." So he took the wife of Hiranyakashipu, took her to his ashram and started to read Srimad Bhagavatam to her. And that way, the child in the womb was getting the benefit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from a great soul such as Narada. So when he came out, he already had so much mercy and so much pure Krishna consciousness. That's the preliminaries of the great, great soul, Prahlad Maharaj. I mean, how we can imagine. We see some of the children here today, they're 10 or 11 years old, and they're chanting and they're dancing. And sometimes we see even in younger, we see little kids, they go, yeah, and they like it. And that's the way to bring up your children. Because that will set the foundation where they can become like Prahlad Maharaj. Could you sit? Okay, you're together? Yeah, okay, that's fine. But could you sit on the other side of her? Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, that's good. Even though it's wrong posture, it works better. Thank you very much. Sorry for the interruption. So these children are so precious that if we give them Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of their life, imagine what kind of devotees they will be. Imagine how many people they can affect in their Krishna consciousness. So it's very important that's why it says that instructions to the children begin in the womb, not when they're born. It goes on when they're born, but even in the womb, when they're there, they can hear the kirtan, they can hear the transcendental sound of philosophy. They have so much to gain, even in the womb. So Prahlad came out as a great devotee. His father wanted him to become a great demon. So he sent him to school. It was Asurakula. not wasn't Gurukula. It's Asurakula. And Prahlad was going to school and he had some teachers named Skanda and Amarka. And like a father who's very proud of his child, one day he said to Prahlad, "Prahlad, Prahlad, what have you learned in school? What have you learned in school, Prahlad?" He put him on his lap. He was very affectionate. Even demons are affectionate. And he was affectionate to his son, and he was saying, "Please tell me." And Prahlad said, "Tatsaru manye suravahadehinam sadad samugvigdya deyam asadgriha hidvadpatam griham andakupam vanogato yadarim asriyeta." Prahlad Maharaj replied, "O best of the Asuras," called his father Asurabhadya, the best of the demons, "as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a deep well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Person." Oh, his father was so mad. Where did you get that? What are the teachers teaching you? he called Sundanamarka and he said, "What are you teaching this kid? You guys are Brahmins. You're supposed to follow what I say. Give him some good demoniac education. Teach him how to use a computer, you know." something like that. Teach him how to, you know, sell iPads and make 100% profit. You know, give him some real good education. Demonic, you know, education. So, Sundanamarka said, "Hey, be careful, Hiranyakashipu. We're Brahmins. You can't, don't insult us. Even though we work for you, you still have to be a little bit nice." So, he said, "Well, actually, there must be some Vaishnavas in disguise coming into the school and polluting Prahlad Maharaj. So be careful." So they went back to school and they said, Prahlad, you know, where are these Vaishnavas coming? We don't see them. How has you learned all this stuff? You're born in Hiranyakashipu. You're supposed to know, you know, all the stuff about how to kill people and how to get political position. That's, you know, demons' program is how to win and how to destroy your enemy. That's the program. How to destroy your enemy and how to win. That's all. It doesn't matter how, just as long as you win. So that's the education. So Prahlad Maharaj, you know, he didn't respond to, he was respectful. He didn't say anything. But as soon as his teachers weren't looking, he started preaching to his classmates. And Prabhupada said, during the tiffin hour. Tiffin hour is like the recess where the kids play and they run around, do all kinds of nonsense. And then they, you know, they get something to eat. So Prahlad would preach during that time to his friends. And he would tell them, you know, you should be Krishna conscious. You're just wasting your life. And they would say, they're all sons of demons. And they would say, Prahlad, we're kids. We want to play. That's our program. Kids means play. When we get older, then we can be miserable. Right? You know, growing up, kids are so nice, and then they grow up, you know, so the idea is don't grow up. Stay young at heart. And then you can play with Krishna forever. So, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. Stay young at heart. Because Krishna consciousness is simply play. There's no work. And so his friends kept saying, "No, when we get old," Prahlad said, "old means just before you die." And he said, "No one knows when you're going to die." So he was preaching to these kids, and the kids were listening. You read the sixth chapter of the seventh canto. That chapter is so powerful. It's Prahlad's instructions to his schoolmates, one of the most deep, philosophical, spiritually powerful parts of the Bhagavatam. You can't get any more into the essence of spiritual life and the miseries of material existence. So much described in that 7-6. This is 7-8. And so, and then Sundanamarka, they brought him back to his father. They said, "There must be Vaishnavas coming in disguise. We can't find them. The kid's polluted. We can't do anything with him. You talk to him." So Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu, put him on his lap and said, "Prahlad, you know, you have to learn what you're supposed to learn. I mean, anyway, tell me what you learned in school, please." And Prahlad said, "Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam, Archanam Vandanam, Dasyam Atmanivedanam, Iti Pumsarpitam Vishnu, Bhaktischet Navalakshana, Kriyeta Bhagavata Adya, Tanmade Ditim Uttamam." Prahlad Maharaj said, "Hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the Lord's lotus feet, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord's one's best friend and surrendering everything unto Him. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Imagine what his father thought after hearing that. I don't want to imitate his father because it might not be so good. Anyway, he was really mad. And then in a few verses later, Prahlad spoke again. He said, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to material life make progress towards hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which is already been chewed. Material life is like chewing the chewed. You got it? You went to school, you're sitting at your classroom desk, and you look underneath and there's all kinds of chewing gum on the bottom of the desk. So you look, oh, there's a purple colored one. That looks so nice. Or maybe yellow. And so you take it and think, ah, it looks juicy. And you chew, and there's nothing. Zilch. Zero. How do you say nothing in Slovenia? Nič. Maha nič. Nothing. It's just, there's nothing in it. But you keep chewing because it looks good. You get the point? That's material life. You tried sex life. It's miserable. And then you try it again. You try, you know, having some kind of nice food. You eat a little bit and what happens? You get sick, eat too much. One sweet boy, hey, two, oh, the feast is coming up. Three, oh, I can't go to work tomorrow, I'm too sick. Anything you do in this world, you get tired of it. I'll use Italian word, capisce? Get the point? It looks good, but it ain't. That's just the way it is. Now, love is a different thing. That doesn't fit into what I'm saying. Love is the only thing worth going for. But sense gratification is not love. It's simply frustration. So everyone is trying to chew what is already being chewed. So Prahlad Maharaj says, these persons who are just absorbed in chewing the chewed, their inclination towards Krishna is never aroused, either by instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. Nobody can help them. They are so absorbed in trying to enjoy material life, right? We meet people every day like that, right? If you were to try to talk about God, they might be a little friendly, but it's not a subject they're interested. Talk about money. Money is the honey. It is so sweet, but around the honey there are bees, and they sting. Material life is like this. A guy falls into the well. It's a deep, dark well, and he's falling all the way down. Somehow he grabs out to hold on to something. He catches a branch, and he's hanging there in the well. He looks down. He sees a deadly python. He looks up. He sees a tiger on the top. He's hanging there. And then two rats, one black and one white, are chewing the branches he's holding onto. But guess what? There's a bee's nest inside, and some honey is dripping. So he sticks out his tongue to taste the nice honey. You get the point? This is material life. The black and white rats are day and night as they're chewing away our lifespan. And below us is the inevitable death, and above us is the miseries of material life. Nowhere to go. So those persons who are sunk in this type of existence, you can't change them because that little bit of honey, oh, it's so nice. It's called blinded by illusion. So this keeps the materialistic going, that little drop of honey, whatever it is. And Prabhupada said, society, friendship, and love. And what does that mean? Family life. Family life. Oh, it's so nice. We have nothing against families because we all came from a family. I had a family too, believe it or not. But it's, what is family life? It's a bunch of people who don't know each other come together and make some bargain to somehow or other chalk out some sense gratification. It's called love. Right? Love. Family life. But usually you just wind up fighting all the time anyway. It's just family. Anyway, I'm not telling you should leave your family. I'm thinking you should add a family member to the family. His name is Krishna. When you put in, you have a family member like Krishna, then everything is nice. Because he's the reason why anything has any meaning. Any relationship between anybody has no value unless Krishna's there. Otherwise, it's just mutual exploitation. People are exploiting each other from what they can get from each other. That's this world, whether it's friendship, marriage, or whatever. What I can get from you, I'll even give you something if I can get something back. That's material life. But when you put Krishna in then one opens up the natural love that is there within the heart, and it's directed towards Krishna. When it's directed towards Krishna, it goes towards everything and everybody. So that is the actual existence that has value. When Krishna's there, your family is wonderful, your friends are wonderful, life is wonderful, everything is wonderful. Because Krishna is the only source of happiness. That's what it says in the Shastras. So Prahlad Maharaj, he's trying to help his father. He has love for his father because he has love for Krishna. Although his father's a demon, he still loves his father because as a Vaishnav, he loves everyone. So he's trying to do good to his father. He's not afraid for his own existence. He's thinking, if I can just change my father to be a Vaishnav, how much that would benefit him. But then he goes on to say, persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have accepted, as their leader or guru, a similar blind man attached to the external sense objects, cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Krishna. As blind men guided by another blind man miss the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men led by another materially attached man are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. He's telling that to his father. His father can't hear. Finally, he says, unless these persons, referring to these persons, they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined towards material life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material contamination. So he's saying, hey, Father, you need a guru. Get with it. He's trying to help him, direct him towards the path of bhakti. His father can't hear. Finally, this goes on for some time. And then Hiranyakashipu gets angry and decides that it says that if there is a little bit of what we say poison in something, it can contaminate the whole thing. If there's a splinter, a tiny little piece of wood is a splinter. If it gets it in your foot, it can infect it. And you can even lose your foot if you don't take care of it. So he was basically saying, Prahlad, you are like a splinter in our family. Therefore, if I don't remove you, you're going to pollute all of the demons. That's what he said in so many words. Therefore, he tried to kill him. So he said, take him away. He called his soldiers. And they tied him up, 5-year-old boy. He's not resisting. And they tried to stab him with swords and spears and so many weapons. The weapons were totally ineffective. They didn't do anything. Because Prahlad was absorbed, and as soon as he was captured, he simply thought of Krishna's lotus feet. Not thought of it, he was absorbed in thinking of Krishna's lotus feet. And therefore, when one is in that consciousness, they're with Krishna. And therefore, nothing can happen to them. Nothing can happen to them. So he had that absorption in Krishna. And then they reported to the father, well, we can't kill him. He said, try another way. Throw him off this mountain. So they threw him off this big mountain. And he landed in the ocean. And then Hiranyakashipu said, then take the mountain and throw it on top of him. Which they did. And he floated away and came back. They tried what else? They tried to put him in boiling oil. The oil was ineffective. Didn't do anything to him. Prahlad was simply in prayer. He didn't try to resist. He didn't say anything. He just remained fixed in Krishna. That's all. And then, this is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but it's amazing, little pastime. This pastime shows you the compassion that a devotee has. Prahlad Maharaj was trying to be, he was being killed, or at least trying, they were trying to kill him. Yet, he was compassionate towards his father and those torturers. So his father called all his Brahmin pandits. This is in the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, another shastra. And he said, kill him with mantras. Because they could chant these powerful mantras. Brahmins were so powerful that they could destroy you with mantra. It's true, actually. It's on the subtle. There's weapons on the gross level. But on the subtle level, there are weapons that are used with mantra. And unless you know how to counteract those with other subtle weapons, you can be destroyed on the physical level with subtle mantras. It's powerful. Not too many demons know these arts today because Kali Yuga, everything goes down. Nowadays, everybody fights on the gross level. But there are still people who know subtle weaponry. And it's very powerful. So they were throwing these mantras at Prahlad. But the mantras were ineffective. But the thing about these mantras, if it doesn't kill the person that it goes towards, it comes back to the person who threw it. So they die. So the mantras were coming back to the Brahmins. And Prahlad was unaffected. And the Brahmin said, Prahlad, we're dying. Help us. They're trying to kill him. And they're being killed by the same thing they're using to kill him. And they call out to Prahlad, save us. And Prahlad said, okay. In so many words, he said, Tatastu. He said, and he just, by his own power in prayer, he retracted the mantras and the Brahmins lived. They went back to Hiranyakashipu and said, don't give us no more jobs like that, please. We quit. We're on the unemployment list. So they weren't satisfied. They left. So Hiranyakashipu was thinking, I've got to kill this kid somehow. So he called his daughter, which was Prahlad's sister. Her name was Holika. And she had the benediction from Lord Brahma. She could not be killed by fire. Fire could not burn her. So Hiranyakashipu said, Take him, put him on your lap, and we'll start a fire around you. And he'll die, and you'll be okay. So they did that. That's the, we know the occasion of Holi. That's the actual glorification of Prahlad Maharaj's power. He sat on the lap of his sister. He didn't resist. She died, and he lived. The Lord wasn't going to tolerate that. It says that if you offend a Vaishnava, that Vaishnava might forgive you, but the Lord won't. The Lord won't. He's very concerned that his devotees are not offended. And he becomes offended personally when his devotees are offended. So he protected. And then the demigods said to, they went Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma went to pray for an incarnation of the Lord. And then the Lord responded that, I'll come in due course of time, don't worry. I know all the exploits of Hiranyakashipu. So finally, Hiranyakashipu realized that this boy has a lot of power. He's got a lot of power. So he became nice. When you can't kill your enemy, you kind of like being nice to them. So he was real nice. He said, Prahlad, where do you get your power from? Please tell me. Prahlad said, I get my power from the same place you get your power, from the same place everybody gets their power. There's only one source of power, Vishnu. Oh, he wasn't nice anymore. He was really angry. He said, what is this Vishnu? Where is he? Prahlad said, he's everywhere. And Hiranyakashipu took out his sword. Where is he? Show me! I want to kill him! Is he here? Yes. Is he there? Yes. Is he over there? I don't see him. He's there. Is he in this pillar? Yes. So he took the sword and struck the pillar. And then the most tremendous sound throughout the entire universe, it shook the whole universe. And all the devas, they're thinking, oh my God, Hiranyakashipu's going to kill us more. They didn't even realize it wasn't him. I'm sorry. It was, I apologize. I hope you're okay. Bring her some water. We got some, you want some water? I apologize. I just get carried away. It's also, I get frustrated, so this is a good way to let out the frustration. Just happens occasionally. Can you do? Anyway, Hare Krishna. So, and when he struck that pillar, the whole universe shook, and this huge, he was as big as the sky. Lord Nisringadeva was huge. And he had a very short neck. He was white in color. His eyes were fiery red. His ears were pointed up like that. He had a body of a man and a face of a lion. And he had eight arms, all equipped with very sharp nails, like a lion. And he was angry. Oh, was he angry. Prabhupada said, God can outdo you in any category. If he wants to get angry, nobody can match his anger. You don't want to get God angry. He can destroy everything just by thinking about destroying it. So the Lord was up here, and Hiranyakashipu. I'll read. Okay. Then from within the pillar came a fearful sound which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. O my dear Yudhisthira, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods like Lord Brahma. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, oh, now our planets are being destroyed. While showing his extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakashipu, who desired to kill his son, heard that wonderful, tumultuous sound which had never been heard before. Upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in their assembly. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead exhibited a wonderful form never seen before. This is an amazing thing. When the Lord appeared, nobody had ever seen that form before, neither the demigods nor Brahma. In fact, nobody could figure it out. Although he was God, even the demigods were completely afraid. They couldn't see, they couldn't figure. That form was neither a man nor a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. While Hiranyakashipu looked all around to find the source of that sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained to be either a man or a lion, emerged from the pillar. In amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, what is this creature that is half man, half lion? Hiranyakashipu, he's not afraid. Because he's thinking, I'm immortal, nobody can kill me. So when he saw Nrisingadeva, he didn't get fearful. Everybody else did, even the demigods. But he was fixed. He studied the form, trying to decide who the form of Nrisingadeva was standing before him. The Lord's form, this is where here it's described, was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold. His shining mane, which expanded dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, Vrajadamstra, and his sharp razor-like tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were sweet and motionless. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body were as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of his attempt? Pride. He was so proud. You tell a proud person they're wrong, they become angry, right? You can't give a proud person any good advice, right? Because they're proud. They think they know. They think they know. A person who's humble, although they may be qualified, if they're humble, they can hear. But a proud person, you may tell them something for their own good, and they think, who are you to tell me? Right? That's the nature of pride. It blocks all communication. So he was so proud. But what is the use of this? Who can fight with me? Hiranyakashipu said. Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. He charged at the Lord. Just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire and the insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. Couldn't see him. He was buried in the Lord's effulgence. This was not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly, during creation, he entered the dark universe and illuminated it by his spiritual effulgence. Thereafter, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely angry, swiftly attacked with his club and began to beat him. Lord Nrisingadev, however, captured the great demon along with his club, just as Garuda captures a snake. Good fight, huh? The Lord likes good fights, right? Prabhupada said, where do you get the fighting propensity from? It comes from God. Because we like to fight, we do. We like to fight. It's there in God and it's there in us. That's where it comes from. You just have to know how to use that propensity in the right way. You use it for protection and not for aggression. But the fighting propensity is there within the living being. Why? Because it's in God. So God likes good fights. So he didn't want to kill him right away. He wanted to have a little fun first. You know, make it interesting. Because, you know, if you just kill him right away, it's boring. You know, you have to make it interesting, look like you're losing, just to make it more exciting. So, right, the great demon, he swiftly attacked Lord Nrisingadev with his club and began to beat the Lord. Lord Nrisingadev, however, captured the great demon along with his club. Narada Muni's speaking. Jai CC Panchatattva ki jai, Gornitai ki jai. O Yudhisthira, O great son of Bart, when Lord Nrisingadev gave Hiranyakashipu a chance to slip from his hand, just as Garuda sometimes plays with a snake and lets it slip from his mouth, the demigods who had lost their abodes and were hiding behind the clouds for fear of the demon did not consider that incident very good. They became perturbed. It's like you're watching a soccer match and your team starts to lose. You think, oh no. So the Lord made it look like he was losing just to make it exciting. Because, you want to have a little fun first. When Hiranyakashipu was freed from the hands of Nrisingadev, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. Therefore, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and again attacked the Lord with great force. Now we begin the class. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Making a loud, shrill sound of laughter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who is extremely strong and powerful, captured Hiranyakashipu, who was protecting him with his sword and shield, leaving no gaps. Hiranyakashipu was a good fighter. With the speed of a hawk, Hiranyakashipu moved sometimes in the sky and sometimes in earth. He was so afraid of Lord Nrisingadev, he did it with his eyes closed. Because of Lord Nrisingadev's laughter. When the Lord was laughing. I got this rascal. He was like, because you want to have some fun. So, the Lord was laughing. And his laugh was like that. Like, you're going to die soon. Part of my first part of the act, that was part, second part. Here we go. This is the verse that's on the board. As a snake captures a mouse, or as Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nrisingadev captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of Lord Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here and there, and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nrisingadev placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs in the doorway of assembly of the Lord very easily. Tore the demon to pieces with his nails of his hand. Wow. Kijai! We like when demons are killed, yes? Devotees are non-violent, right? We're very, peace. Have some prasad, Prabhu. But when demons get killed, we say, ki jai, right? Because devotees like when demons killed, right? That's when Krishna kills the demons, it's good for the demons. That's the point. The Lord is, what is it? Suhidam Sarvadehinam. He's the friend of all living entities. So he treats each and every living entity in the best way possible. So the way the Lord is relating to right now is just for your best interest. You might think, what's happening to me now? It's because that's exactly what's for my best interest. If we take advantage of it. So when he kills the demons get mercy. They get benediction. They get liberation also. So, Rani Kashipu had received from Lord Brahma the benediction that he would not die on land or in sky. Therefore, to keep the promise of Lord Brahma intact, Nrisingadev placed Rani Kashipu's body on his lap, which was not land, sky, or water. Rani Kashipu had received the benediction that he would not die either in day or night. Therefore, to keep the promise of Brahma, the Lord killed Rani Kashipu in the evening, which is at the end of day and the beginning of night, but neither day or night. Rani Kashipu had taken a benediction from Brahma that he would not die from any weapons or be killed by any person, dead or alive. Therefore, just to keep the word of Lord Brahma, Lord Nrisingha pierced Rani Kashipu's body with the nails, which are not weapons and were neither living nor dead. Indeed, the nails can be called dead, but at the same time they can be said to be alive. To keep intact of all Brahma's benedictions, Lord Nrisingha paradoxically but very easily killed the great demon Hiranyakashipu. So the Lord doesn't have to go along with Brahma's benediction, but he did, just to honor Brahma's position. And he kept all the promises that Brahma gave to Hiranyakashipu and still killed the demon. What is the point? Nobody can outsmart the Lord. I'm doing something and nobody's seeing. Yes, there is. Somebody is seeing. His name is God. God knows everything. Not only does he know everything, he knows Trikala Gyan. He knows past, present, and future. So no one can outsmart the Lord. The Lord knows everything at all times, all places. But the amazing thing, he always acts for the benefit of everyone. Although he knows everything, still he's everyone's best friend and well-wisher. So now the demon is killed. And devotees are happy. Yes? Because demon, Prabhupada said about our ISKCON movement, he said, we have no fear of Maya. Because Maya is Krishna's pure devotee. And therefore, as we surrender to Krishna, Maya will give us her mercy. She will give us the sweet mercy because she is in line with Krishna. But even if we surrender to Krishna, the demons won't allow it. So there's always disturbances in the lives of the devotees from the demons, no matter who you are. And the world is full of demons today. So we don't have much to worry about Maya, but we are concerned about the demons. Therefore, there's only one person who can protect you against them, and that is Nrisingadev. So when we take shelter of Nrisingadev, as we see Prahlad Maharaj did, he was completely and perfectly protected by the Lord. So, and we have so many examples. There was a story in South Africa where these five robbers came into the house one time of this family, and the family was completely surprised. Actually, the family were just pulled into their driveway to get into the house. They were surrounded by these five dacoits with guns. They were forced to go into the house at gunpoint. There was other people in the house. There was an old man in the house. And when he saw that, he just started to yell, Sringadev, na Sringadev, na Sringadev, and as loud as his voice, and the attackers didn't know what to do. They got all bewildered, and they just turned around and ran. There's so many stories. There's another story. There was one devotee who was distributing books, I believe in some area of Israel during the Israeli-Pakistan... Palestine, yeah, the Palestine-Israeli conflict. So this devotee was distributing books one day, and at the end of the day he decided to take a break, so he went up on a mountain just to relax, and when he was looking down at the city he saw this one area. And the city, which was all bombed out, all the buildings were destroyed by bombs. So the next day he went out on book distribution again. And while he was distributing, he met one man. The man said, oh, these books are nice. It was towards the end of the day. He said, I want to get one copy of every title you have with you. But I don't have enough money with me. But if you just come to my house with me, I'll give you much more than it's worth. I'll give you triple the price. And the devotee was thinking, well, it's towards the end of the day, why not? So they were walking. And the man just kept talking and talking and talking to keep the devotee's, attention. Finally, it diverted his mind away from where they were walking. And then the devotee looked around and he realized he was in that same area where he saw the day before. It was all bombed out. And then he realized this man's not serious. And then the man caught on. He pulled out a knife. And there was nobody around. And he was about to kill him. And he just yelled out, Nasringadev! And out of nowhere, a huge, big dog jumped on the guy and knocked him down. And the devotee ran away. So Nasringadev's in the heart of all every living being. So that's an example how the Lord protects his devotees. And there's so many examples. I told that story about the little girl who got hit by a car 40 miles an hour, and she didn't have the slightest bit of fracture. Because when she was flying through the air after being hit by a car, the Lord caught her. And then when she woke up in the hospital, and there was not a piece of bone broken in any part of her body, they asked her, how? She said, well, actually, Lord Nasringadev caught me. And then she showed her arms, and the arms, there was two scratch marks on each side. When he caught me, his nails scratched me. She actually saw the Lord. Not only she saw the Lord catch her when she got hit by a car going 40 miles. That's pretty fast, 40 miles an hour, getting hit by a car. Little girl, she was 8 years old. So the Lord protects his devotees. There's no question. Because in this age there are so many demons. This is the age of demons. There's so many demons. People who are against God and work for the subjugation of the world. So devotees just take shelter. But Nasringadev does three things. Not only gives you protection against danger, he removes, we were chanting that prayer during the yajna today, he removes material desires from the heart. And Prahlad Maharaj prays like that. My dear Lord, remove these material desires from my heart, which are like demons. He compares the desires in the hearts to demons. So he prays, my dear Lord, these demons in my heart, they're like little Hiranyakashipus running around, making noise. So, right? Yeah, we're all thinking here, boy, I can't wait till this lecture's over. So I can do something else. No, you're not at all thinking like that. I'm sure you're not. But anyway, we like to fulfill, not we, but people like to have an opportunity to fulfill material desires. So Prahlad Maharaj calls that demons. So he, therefore, with sincere prayer to Lord Nrsingadev, he removes these desires. Or he moves the tendencies to fulfill the desires. The desires get destroyed by bhakti, but he destroys the tendency to act on those desires. And the last thing he does, he destroys material illusions. You look at something, you think, this is for my enjoyment. You pray to Lord Nrsingadev, he reveals it. He shows you, this is not enjoyable. Your real enjoyment is your service to the Lord. Right, Baladev? We had fun today bathing the Lord. That was so much fun. And being with Baladev, he just loves to do it. So while I was, you know, when I'm with Baladev just bathing the Lord, because every holiday he's got some deities. It's either Nrsingadev or Korma or Balaram. What else? We got all the deities. So every festival he's there with his deities and we bathe the Lord. And bathing the Lord is a very intimate and sweet pastime. It's done by the residents of the spiritual world. When Krishna is there with his devotees, those who are very close to him get the chance to bathe him and serve him in that way. And he loves that. He loves that service. So it's a very sweet service to bathe the Lord. We call it Abhishek, but it actually, when you pour the substances from these conch shells onto the deity, you're actually pouring your bhakti onto the Lord. That's what it really means. The love in your heart is being expressed through these various substances. And the Lord is enjoying that when we are doing it in with a desire to please Him. So this type of worship is so pleasing to the Lord, and the devotees have so much fun doing that. It's just so nice. So, therefore, by devotional service is so sweet because the Lord can be served in so many different ways. Just like now we'll be taking prasadam. You ready?
Yes.
Is there anybody who's not? Just checking. That's called prasada seva. You get to serve the Lord by eating his remnants. It's a service. It's not only nice enjoyment, it's probably one of the favorite services of the devotees. If we have any raga nuga bhakti, it comes out in prasadam. Spontaneous, it's very spontaneous. So the devotees will, and the taste of the prasadam is actually the Krishna's mercy upon the devotees. Krishna says, I am the taste or the essence of everything. So please continue and don't make this occasion just a one-day occasion. Take something away from here this evening and apply it in your life. Something you learned, something you realized, something you may have experienced. And that way we can make it, we can take that and then we can make advancement in spiritual life. Because advancement in spiritual life means advancement in happiness. The more we make advancement in spiritual life, the more we become happy. Because happiness is the nature of the soul. And advancement in spiritual life means advancement in knowledge, advancement in happiness, and advancement away from the miseries of material life, especially the misery that comes by death. So this process of Krishna consciousness is coming from the spiritual world. It's not some man-made process of doing some religion. This is not religion. This is not religion. This is the essence of the living being's existence. It's not about religion. It's about finding yourself and experiencing yourself to the utmost maximum. Just like we were singing and dancing. You see, the devotees go mad. What is that madness? the sound of Krishna's name enters into the ear holes and somehow affects the soul, and the soul becomes mad. The soul becomes awakened and it shakes the body. That's called dancing. I read a book one time by some unknown spiritualist, and he wrote, at the very end of the book, he said, the ultimate expression of happiness is to dance. Right? When you're so happy, you just do a jig, right? You just dance. Some people go to sleep, I guess. I'm so happy I could sleep. That's a little different. So, the Lord wants His devotees to become happy. But He knows, because our nature is to serve Him, that's the only way. That's why He's encouraging us to take part in His service, because He knows it's for our happiness. So, thank you very much. Should we end here, or should we take questions? Question? You have a question? Oh, no. Okay. Any questions or comments? Yes, Iris.
Once
she told us that there are two most important prayers which Radha Maharaj directed towards the Lord, could you maybe remind me about them? Once fearlessness? And the other was three, actually. That was this morning's class. We chanted that mantra in the Yajna. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jate Jase Avir Avir Bhava Vrajanaka Vrajadamsta Kamasaya Radaya Radaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Havayam Havayam Atmani Bhuyasta Om Shram. Beach mantra, Shram. That prayer, Prahlad Maharaj in the fifth canto, he's saying, my dear Lord, get rid of these demons in my heart, which are desire for fruit of activities. Give me fearlessness, because this world is full of fear, and destroy my ignorance. Three things. So first he asks for destruction of fruit of activities, and then he asks, destroy our ignorance. And the last, he says, give me fearlessness. Because everyone in this world is fearful. But he's praying not only for us, but he's showing us how to pray also. Like that. So those three things he prays for. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays the other three things I mentioned. Protection from harm, destruction of illusion, destruction of material desires. So Nisringadev opens the door to Radha Krishna worship. If some people say, well, I'm a devotee of Krishna, what's this Nisringadev? But actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose internal identity in the spiritual world is a manjari, he's a gopi. He worships Radha and Krishna, but he's praying to Nisringadev, because he knows that the Srinagadev can open the door to bhakti of Radha and Krishna. So, and in this age, I would say that the Srinagadev is very, very necessary. It's such an age. Yes, Prabhu.
How often does Lord Krishna do appear? Once in Namaste?
How often does Nisringadev appear? Well, the pastimes of the Lord are going on throughout the universes continuously. So somewhere this pastime is still going on. But on this planet, that's a good question, because it says that what the pastime we're reading here happened millions of years ago. At least more than 2 million, even before the time of Lord Ramachandra. So it doesn't mention how often he comes, at least from my knowledge anyway. Like that. You want to stay around for the next coming? That's not a good idea. The idea is, Prabhupada said, Kali Yuga is going to get worse, so you might as well go back home, back to Godhead as fast as you can. He was serious. He was saying, don't stay around because Kali Yuga is just getting worse and worse and worse. Mercy of the Lord is getting greater and greater and greater, but at the same time, the age is becoming worse and worse and worse. Fly away to Vaikuntha. Any other questions? Comments? Okay, so don't want to hold up prasadam. What's next, Ananta Prabhu? Prasad? Okay. Thank you very much. Offer your prayers to Narada Sringadev and enjoy the feast. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sringa Bhagavan ki jai.